The reading today is taken from John 1. You'll find it on page 1090 in your church Bible. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" for they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lisette. Can I invite Roberto to come up? And I shall pray for him before he starts. So thank you, Lord, for this time together. And I pray that you will anoint your servant so that he speaks the words that you want us to hear. And that you give us ready hearts to take it all in. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Last week, I took my vest off and my scarf, thinking that we were close to summer, but today I put it back. Who understands this weather? This is one of my favorites. Passages of Scripture. For it is a passage that in any conversation with Christ, sooner or later, he will bring the subject. And the Lord has brought this subject before me sometimes, especially when I become too arrogant. And I think to myself more than I should. There is no doubt that Peter was a great man. But because he was he wasn't very humble, was it? He thought of himself superior to others. In fact, a few chapters before, he said to the Lord, even if everybody else leaves you, I will never leave you. So the Lord has to have a conversation with him. He prepares a breakfast and then says, okay, now let's talk about it. And he asks one question and he repeats the question three times. What would you think if I ask you or somebody who loves you ask you the same question three times? What kind of message is he trying to say to you? Simon, son of John. Or it could be changed in anybody's name here. Janet. Son of, do you truly love me more than this? Only said, in a conversation with Christ, he gets to invite you for breakfast, as we did a few weeks ago, and, the Lord will ask you, Lisette, daughter of, do you love me more than this? Charles, do you love me more than this? And Jesus is not just content with the first answer, but he keeps going exactly the same, time and time again. Jesus is trying to make the point. Yes, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Okay, Lord, the Lord says, okay, well, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus comes back. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And Peter goes back, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. If I was Peter, I would be also feeling quite humble by Jesus asking me three times exactly the same question. What is Jesus trying to tell me? Peter was a great man, and he was chosen by Jesus to be the head of the church. But before he became a great man, he had to be humble. Sometimes, and I probably is your experience, and the older you get, the more experience like this you have, and I can see that you, plenty of you have white hair, so obviously, or no hair. So obviously, there have been plenty of experiences in which God had to deal with you, and he has done exactly the same with me. Thank you, Lisette. Sometimes life events are used by God, by the Lord, to humble us. And these are hard experiences. For none of us like to be humbled. So, who is a great man or a great woman in the eyes of God? I was asking this, my question was interesting. Yes, who is great in the eyes of God? What do we have to be? So to be great in his eyes. In the eyes of the world, if you have a great intelligence, if you're a Nobel Prize winner, if you manage to get a good degree, PhD, if you are a good businessman or businesswoman, a great politician, if you manage to reach parliament, if you are a great musician or academic or writer, you can be considered clearly that you're a great, great man or great woman in the eyes of the world. Does it work the same with God? It came to my mind this verse from the Bible. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. He's talking about John the Baptist. There is no one greater than John the Baptist. He's even greater than Solomon. John the Baptist is the greatest man being born of a woman. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So if you are a member of the kingdom of God, if you are part of the kingdom of God, you are greater than John the Baptist. That's a great principle, isn't it? What a great privilege. When I see you around, I think, no, there are no great people. They're normal people like me. But the Lord says, no. My opinion about you is that you are greater than John the Baptist if you are in the kingdom of God. What a beautiful promise from God, I thought. So Peter had to be humble before he became a great man. From Jesus' perspective, the person who is great is the person who is transformed by the grace of God. Make a note of this. The person who is great in the kingdom of God is the person who has been transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. Qualifications, degrees, titles, Nobel Prizes in the kingdom of God don't have much value, or no value at all. But if you are a believer and you are part of the kingdom of God and the grace of God is in you and is working in you, you can be greater. You are greater than John the Baptist. This passage is about Christian leaders. If you want to be a good Christian leader, one of the marks is that you love the people of God. Know that you are a great theologian. You can be a great theologian and not be a good Christian leader. In fact, in my library in Spain, I have this commentary to the Romans. I'm not going to mention the name, but the person is one of the greatest writers on the book of Romans. But he's not a believer. But he has written a fantastic book. Because he is writing the book from the perspective of a paper, you know, good written material. So he expresses and he speaks about grace and all these things. And he knows Greek and Hebrew. So what? Now, great leaders, the character of a great leader is that he loves the people of God. And the way you show love for the people of God is that you take care of the people of God. You have compassion for the people of God. You feed the people of God. And this is not just for good and great leaders in the church, but it's also for everybody. So when you go and you visit somebody, okay, no, don't go just to visit the person in the hospital and have a chat about life and about illness or whatever. If you visit somebody at the home, it's lovely. But always take with you a passage of a scripture. Something that you can give to the person. This is what the Lord says in the Bible. And you read the scripture and you teach a scripture to the person. That will do much good than anybody, anything else you can take to that place. For I believe 100% that the word of God has power in itself. Just to read it has power. So just stay with you when you make any visit. Take with you a passage of a scripture. Even maybe if it's only one verse or two verses, just read them and explain to the person what the Lord has told you about that passage. So in doing that, you are feeding that person with the word of God. So the Lord says again to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? Peter had the idea that he was greater than the other ones. And that also is so common among human beings. Sometimes we see ourselves as greater than other people, better than other people, superior than other people. We know scripture than more than other people. This is common among us. It's a common error in human beings to compare ourselves with other people. Peter said, even if all fall away, I will not. Peter, why did you open your mouth? You would be much wiser to keep your mouth shut. If everybody falls away, thinking about the rest of the disciples, can you imagine if you were a disciple? What do they think about Peter? If everybody falls away, I will not. I will be the only one who will follow you. I will not do it. Peter has a superior view of himself about the rest. What a common error among Christians. I have a superior view of myself because I know more than you. Because I am more involved in church things more than you. So I'm superior to you. Because I have been in Bible college, I am superior than you. Because I give more money to the church, I am superior than you. Is this the way God sees us? I thought, no way it can be. For God looks at the heart. Peter loved Jesus, but he didn't know himself very well, did he? He didn't know himself well enough. That's why he wasn't humble. And that's why the Lord has to ask these questions time and time again, going deeper and deeper into the inner being of Simon Peter. Peter, I'm asking you the first level. I'm going to ask you again, and I go down. And it's not enough, I'm going to ask you again for the third time and go even further, deeper. Do you truly love me? Christian humility is a fundamental mark of us as believers, and especially in Christian leadership. Love for God's people, feed my people. The people of God need to be fed. But I would also say that probably the most important thing of all is that we love the Lord, love for Jesus. So sometimes, and let me give you a confession, and don't take it away from here, I suppose if you can keep it on this group, that would be good. I find it quite difficult to sing some hymns. Lord, I give you all my life, all my all my possessions. And I think, no, I can't say that. That's too much. If I had to be honest, I have to say, no, there will be certain limits which I will give to the Lord and certain things which I will say no. So this idea of these writers, I know it's poetry, but you know, it has a lot of meaning. I will give you all of myself, all of my life, yes, all of my children. I will give you all. Are you sure? Lord, if everybody else fails you, I will not. So I said, Lord, you know me. And you know my limitations. Yeah? You know my limitations. You know that there are things which I cannot give you at this moment. How can I sing this to you if I know my limitations? And you, Lord, also, you know my limitations. Your Lord, you know that my love for you has a limitation. So the Lord, in many ways, very often through life experience, he is trying to humble us, so we know ourselves well enough. We know our character. When you are, it's a phrase I heard long time ago from the ex-principal of Trinity College. He was retired, and he was in a church nearby, so I used to go and listen to him. And he said this phrase, I never forgot it. When you are at the bottom, it is impossible to look at others with superiority. Is when you are at the bottom, when you are right on the ground, you cannot see anybody else as with superiority. So this is what the Lord was trying to do in this passage with these questions. Lord, you know that I love you, but you know that I have also limits. Humble yourself before the Lord, says James. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. I don't have to humble you. You humble yourself. You humble yourself. It's a decision you have to make. Humble yourself, and I will lift you up. And then Paul says in Ephesians, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And the word that really gives me trouble in this text is completely humble. Can we be completely humble? It is a continuous work. It never finishes. It goes on and on and on. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with each other, in love with each other. So I thought Peter had learned the lesson, but at the end he begins again. And he says at the end of the conversation, Lord, what about him? And the answer of the Lord, let me translate it into modern English. Mind your own business, Peter. Mind your own business, Peter. If I want this one to carry on and live forever until I come back, what about you? Mind your own business. Jesus knows us very well as individuals, and he knows exactly where we are. And he treats each one of us according to our needs, our psychology, our emotional situation, our conditions, our age. He knows us very well. We are his sheep. He can handle us as we deserve, isn't it? Jesus is gentle. Jesus knows how to deal with each one of us. Don't be hard and try to humble other people. Even if you see that they need to be humble, don't do it. Bad news. Let Jesus use things, situations in life to help you to be humble yourself before the Lord. That's why the point is, humble yourself. And the Lord will lift you up. Sometimes the deal of Jesus with us, sometimes is hard. He has to do a lot of work in us, in our hearts. Has the Lord worked in you hard enough? Do you see yourself looking back, which is good, it's great. That's why age has a benefit, is that you can look back for many, many years, you know, behind you. Can you see that the Lord has humbled you little by little and shaped you? Are you the same as 5 years ago? As last week? Are you the same as 10 years ago, 20 years ago? I say, I'm not. But the process sometimes has been hard. It's never been easy. Because I don't like to change. So the question for you before we finish is, do you love me? Do you truly love me? Forget about others. Mind your own business. Do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. And you know that with my limitations, I love you.